Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 204. Happy Tuesday to you. Interesting story. They're showing it on TMZ right now. I was reading about this. That's a L.A. singer you're seeing there. I've never heard of her. And she works out at Gold's Gym in California. And she says that there's a man who dresses like a woman and goes into the women's locker room and harasses women. And I haven't seen the video yet, but I guess it's on video that she confronted the man and told him to get out of here. We don't want this. This isn't, you know, it's not why we come here. And she went to the ownership and wanted his membership revoked, but instead they revoked hers and said that she was being abusive to a fellow member. And I've not seen yet what the Gold's Gym rules are to know what they have to do with gender in locker rooms, but interesting story. Any initial thoughts?
Well, I'm just reading, you know, more details of the story. I had not heard of this until you just brought it up like a minute ago. There's a video that showed her filming the individuals. They argued and gym employees attempted to intervene. Yes.
I mean, by the appearance that I see in the picture, this is the first I've heard of this too, but there's a picture, still shot of the video that she shot. It doesn't appear that it's someone who is dressed as a woman.
What does that mean, though?
I don't know. That's a good point. That I don't know if that even matters. I mean, let's be real. I have no idea.
Yeah, I've been saying that for years. That when, remember the big story in St. Louis when boy wanted to go in the girls' locker room?
Yeah.
And I said that, putting my lawyer hat on, that you can't get into an attractiveness standard. You can't say, well, you don't look enough like a woman. You don't look
That's fair.
Pretty enough. You're not wearing the right kind of clothes. It really kind of comes down to what someone says. This is how I identify, and this is the locker room I'm most comfortable with, and then whether the facility allows it. And I don't know what most gyms do.
No. And I don't know what the law is. What's the law on that? Does all that is the only thing that matters that you say that you identify one way or the other? And what's to prevent? This is why it's a dicey line, right? Because you don't want to just flat out discriminate against someone, right? You just don't want that to be the basis where just, well, we don't see you the way you see yourself. So too bad, so sad, see ya. That's probably a bit harsh. At the same time, I can understand the concern of what's to stop a dude who's just trying to be a creeper from lying. And that's the hard part in this conversation, is because there are creeps that will lie. And that ruins it. Not ruins it, but you know what I mean? It clouds the conversation.
Yeah.
If creeps didn't exist, we wouldn't have to worry about any of it. But creeps exist. And that is not to say that the person who actually does live that way is a creep. That's not the point. That's why it's difficult, though. This is kind of similar to me to the argument about trans athletes in sports. Where is the line that we have to say that something is true versus something is a belief? Right? I mean, so when we talk about it in sports, I think a lot of people get it get the idea that maybe the burden of proof is on the person making the claim. I'm claiming that I don't have an advantage in this sport over the other competitors. Well, then I think the burden of proof should be on that side. It shouldn't be on the side of people who are not making any kind of claim outside of what is already accepted, which is why we have separate men's and women's sports. Because we agree as a society, as a world, we agree that male athletes have an advantage over female athletes when it comes to those kinds of physical things. Strength, height, length, speed, whatever. Like, that's known, it's measured, there's no scientific disagreement on that. There are outliers on either side, but when we're talking about the world of sports, you are not talking about the outliers on the low end of the athletic spectrum, right? So you're not talking about a small guy who doesn't play sports versus an MMA fighter who is female who does. That's not the comp. The comp is like to like, right? Athlete to athlete, competitor to competitor. So where does the burden of proof lie in just normal day-to-day life? I have no idea. What does the law say?
I don't know. We would get Brad Young on, but it's his birthday and his wife surprised him. Fat lot of you sure to me today, Brad. Happy friggin' birthday, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Love to do more on this.
Yeah, and I think that what's important, though, is that there has to be some kind of mutually agreed upon standard. Right? Like, it can't be automatic that we say, if you are this, we just exclude you without discussion. And it can't also be, it's whatever I say it is. It can't be those things.
I agree, except for mutually agreed upon. I don't think that's going to ever come into it.
Maybe there's a better term than mutually agreed upon, but some kind of social and or scientific standard.
I think it's just going to come down to, and it may already have, and we just don't know it, that an administration or a state makes a law and says, here's what it is.
And then there's challenges to that. Yeah.
Then go to the Supreme Court and...
Yeah. It's a tough call because I don't want to be nasty to anybody in either direction. I don't want to be nasty to this woman who's like, I don't want a dude in the locker room with me.
It is a tough call.
Yeah.
I err on the side of letting people be who they are, letting them love who they want to love, letting them present as they want to present, treating them as such, giving them the respect. But having a 20-year-old daughter, I am also very protective of that. And if some guy came into her locker room who, like you said, was just looking to take advantage and creep, well, got to protect
them. Well, and that's where it gets really difficult to start parsing these things out, because what you just said is, if someone's going into the women's locker room being insincere about who they are, that's not a trans woman.
Right.
That is a male looking for loopholes and looking to exploit and abuse other people. There are plenty of trans women out there just existing, going about their daily lives. They're not hurting anyone.
Right.
But whenever we do start to be like, oh, we've got to do it this way, those are the people that end up getting hurt. I guarantee you, I have been in the bathroom many times with a trans woman and I had no idea. You know, it just doesn't clock because it's, you know, everything went fine. There is a distinction between like someone who is exploiting the system, but then, how do you make that judgment? That becomes very, very difficult. I have a feeling that is a lot less common than maybe we're led to believe.
Yeah.
Before I comment on this particular story, I'm going to need to watch the video and see for myself. Same. Because just the details that I'm seeing online, it's really hard to tell what's going on.
Yes.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah. What do we want to talk about? So Snap supports about 42 million Americans each month. We've been talking about it a lot lately. Touched on it a little bit during headlines yesterday, I think. But USDA is only going to be able to put out about half of the normal benefit amount for November. Typically, it's $8 billion to cover the entire country for SNAP. They're only able to tap into these emergency funds that have $4.65 billion. And then it could face some delays. I saw this article last night that was very upsetting. We are in a very bad spot here. So for November, if you're a household that receives SNAP, you're going to get about half of your normal benefits, and it could be weeks, if not months, late.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I think, you know, myself included, when you hear on Friday, like, oh, these federal judges, they've made the Trump administration tap into these emergency funds, and then you think, okay, great, the stopgap has been filled. It absolutely has not been. This is going to put people behind a lot. So all I have to say is, like, keep your eye on the ball when it comes to the whole SNAP situation. This has been something that's been very, very difficult for me to watch happen. There have been a lot of things that have happened in our country, but to see people, especially children who are hungry, not have access to food, I think we should all be very deeply ashamed of the state of things. It didn't take one step to get us here. There was a million ways that the system has failed the American people to end up in this spot. And it's truly something to be sad about and something to focus on. And we should figure out a way to never let something like this happen ever again. So anyway, there's my little thing about SNAP.
Let me respond to that. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not hopeful. I'm not hopeful in the short term, like meaning in the next couple of administrations. It just feels like we're in the middle of a game and half of us want it over. Half of us want it to keep going. And back to your mutually agreed upon. I think that's the way things should be, but I just don't see that being a part of the American culture for the foreseeable future. It's like you said yesterday, Wheels, one side wins and to hell with everyone else. We're going to run the table until the next one comes in. And you know what happens when you take a piece of metal and bend it back and forth and back and forth? It ends up breaking.
Well, that's the thing that people don't have the common sense to see, that the current path that we're on and the contentiousness and all that, it doesn't lead to anything good. There's no good that comes from constant fighting. Nothing. There's no good that comes from demonizing the other side. Well, there's no good in the end. There's no, like, ultimate victory for one side. There's not. All that comes from it is more problems. That's it. We look at history. Where is there an example in history where infighting and nonstop internal conflict has gone well for the nation that you're talking about? When has it ever gone well?
I have a question. Who is getting what they want right now?
Rich people.
Anybody else? Serious question. Do you know of anyone who's like, oh, I'm feeling so good. I'm getting everything that
When I was at the 97.1 party the other night, which is, you know, it's literally called St. Louis Conservative.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Everyone was really, really happy and like talking about politics. And I think MAGA people are really happy. Now, you might be MAGA and a farmer and find out that the tariffs are going to put you out of business. But I think sort of normies out there, to just, you know, their job hasn't changed, their income hasn't changed. I think that getting their way on social things, I think they're pretty happy.
What I don't understand is how does that benefit you? Like, that's what when we were doing the think tank last week, I asked a simple question. I can't think of anything over the last 12 years where my life's gotten that much better.
Not an ideologue.
No, right, but not, like even if the policies were things that I agreed with on a social policy, it doesn't benefit me. I don't get how more people don't just focus on what benefits me and people like me.
Well, that's the cruelty, right? They don't care.
You do get it because you're not an identity politics guy. For people who are identity politics people, whether that's MAGA or that's Mondani, they have so much wrapped up into their personage of their politics, and especially on the social stuff.
Yeah, this is the cruelty of it. As long as you hear that gay people might not be able to get married anymore, it doesn't matter to you that ground beef is $7 a pound.
Right, but that's the part that I mean, what everybody's survival instincts are is to protect their own, to protect their future, their family, their day-to-day life. Being focused on things other than that isn't helping you in any of those ways.
But what you're missing, though, Kev, is that that is what is important to them. And painting with a broad brush, clearly. But in general, if you're an ideologue, an identity politics person, I'm not going to say that, you know, keeping gay people from getting married, as Andrew brought up, is as important as your kid's future. I don't think that's true for anyone. But I do think that it's of core importance to identity politics people, that it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And maybe more than like their job, their income.
Yeah. See, I get that that is. I don't understand why.
I understand.
Yeah. No, I don't understand why. Why would you sacrifice your own good? Like, why does something that impacts people that are not you more important that impacts you? That I get that it exists. What I don't understand is how you get there.
Well, Brian M's not on the stream today yet, but we know Brian M pretty well. Yeah, his politics, he's very open about it. I'm going to bet that Brian M would say that he's not being hurt.
Yeah. And this is
he's
why,
not making any sacrifices.
And by the way, this is why the average people lose. Because you know who makes decisions based on what benefits them the most? Rich people. And by rich, I don't just mean your friend or yourself if you're well off. I'm talking about the top end of that food chain that pays all the lobbyists, that works with congressmen, people who write the laws that wind up being proposed as bills, right? They don't think about those things. They think about what's better for themselves, and it's why they're winning. Because we're down here fighting about things that don't even impact us, and we're fighting with each other. While they're just like, here, I'm going to do what's good for me and what's good for people like me, because what's good for people like me is good for me, because we consolidate more power. We normies, we have conceded all of our power because we will continue to fight about things that don't really affect us individually. Like what somebody else does, married, unmarried, gay, straight, whatever, has no impact on me whatsoever. None. That's why I don't care about it. Like, I mean, I care about humans. I want humans to be happy, right? I want to treat people with respect. But nothing that happens in those ways is impacting me in any way, shape, or form. I care more about tax bills that would affect me. I care more about regular, normal people being able to retire at a reasonable age instead of having to work until they're 75 years old.
But your religious beliefs are not the most important part of your life. They play a very small part in your life.
But I think religious belief is what, like growing up the way I did as a Catholic, is what informs that. Because what I learned from the Bible was not get more for me and hold other people down. It's what you do to the least of my people that you do unto me.
I agree.
So as a non-religious person, I think my view is more morally bound to what is taught in the New Testament than how a lot of people act, even though I don't practice. Because I care about regular people. And I care about people. Forget regular. I just care about people. So I want people that are homeless and starving to have some basic things. I don't look at them and say, well, they screwed up. Too bad. So sad. And I don't care about what some rich person gets. I'm not trying to protect the tax codes for the wealthy so they don't give up extra. I don't care. They don't care about me. Why do I care about them? They're fine. They have everything they need. They're never going to want for anything. Meanwhile, there are people that want for things. And even like, I'm not even talking about just like unemployed or homeless people. I'm talking about regular middle class people who, again, are like one medical crisis away from having nothing. I care about that. What are we doing to help that? That doesn't have any political alignment. That can happen to a Democrat or a Republican.
Good discussion. Lots of activity on the stream. Quick break. Right back. DGS and KMWAC. All right, just like a minute here, because we went so long on that last one. Dave says, we've become too obsessed with what things symbolize rather than what they accomplish. Joel says, there seems to be a lot of virtue signaling on both sides that ends up being self-destructive. The social credit is more important, though, than the individual benefit. Agree with both those things?
Yeah, I mean, I get why to a degree. Like, I get how, maybe. I still don't understand why you sacrifice your own benefit and benefit for, like, your family, your friends, people you know, for things that don't really impact you. But I know how it happens, because it's nonstop all anybody fights about on social media, on, you know, radio shows and TV shows and all. I mean, it's literally nonstop what people fight about. It's the culture wars. But
wouldn't it be amazing?
Everybody loses in that fight, by the way. Everybody loses.
Wouldn't it be amazing? And I'm not trying to be Martin Luther King here or something, but wouldn't it be amazing, as a former very religious person, now hopeful agnostic, if this next generation, when it comes to religion, which obviously still plays a huge part in our world, we focused on kindness and love and acceptance and forgiveness as opposed to tattletaling. You are a sinner because of this, that. I've always said that we're doing is just judging each other for sinning differently. I sin, you sin, we just do it in different ways, and we just come after each other because your way is worse than mine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 234. Going to be talking to our friend Dr. Tiffany Osborne here in a second. Chris Etherington online, apropos of our last discussion, says, really comes down to the future world and what we wish our kids and grandchildren grow up in. I think that's true for either side. I agree with that, although I think that the visions of what the world would look like for our grandkids have never been more different. Am I being dramatic?
What do you mean by that?
Like MAGA, what they want for their grandkids and what the left wants for their grandkids seem very different. And in my life before this, like, you know, George Bush, Bill Clinton, people like that, they were much closer. Maybe out of strategy more than true beliefs back then.
I think it's a deeper conversation as far as, like, well, what do you perceive the left wants for their grandchildren? What do you perceive MAGA wants for their grandchildren?
But they're very different, though. Don't you think?
I mean, maybe at the core, maybe not so different. I think people want their grandchildren to be able to make a living and not struggle and be happy and healthy and have access to things that make their life better. I think we can all agree on that at our core. Maybe it looks different getting there to some folks. But yeah, I mean, when you say like the left wants something way different than what MAGA wants for their kids, for the future of their kids, I guess I don't see where those... I guess we would just have to get specific about what that is.
Well, I think you're right in that there's a core that everyone has. And I'm not trying to belittle you here because you just don't know what it was like before. But it doesn't seem like it. It is like this, that we are at each other's throats way more than we were 30 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But
so the core, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know that MAGA would say, like, well, what I want for my grandkids is no gay marriage. Now, I'm not sure that that's, you know, what I'm getting at. But the social landscape and what America looks like, I think is very different.
Yeah. I really do wish people could get out of their own heads and look at human history. In what society on this earth are things the way they used to be? What is happening now? What is it like now compared to 100 years ago? compared to 150 years ago. The only constant of the human condition that it's is that it's constantly changing. Language changes, customs change, belief systems change, societal norms change. Nothing stays the same. So if we all end up spending too much time trying to think about the past and recreating the past, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. Nothing stays the same. It never does. And fighting that is swimming upstream. Now, that doesn't mean you have to like every change or like things differently, but it's not about what you like. We do, you know, I mean, nobody likes being told that they have to behave a certain way or they have to accept a certain thing, but they sure do like telling other people that they should do that. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like being told how you should live, then you shouldn't tell other people how to live. Yeah. I mean, like, think that's pretty basic.
Yeah. Do you saw Dr. Tiff?
I think Andrew's talking to her for a second here.
She's here.
Okay, let's do it then. Hello, Doc, you there?
1 second. Sorry, we got to get her back on air in 1 second.
No problem. My fault.
That should be good.
Hello, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Doing fine, although a couple of people here at work today are sick and their kids are sick, so it feels like it's starting up.
Yeah, it is.
What are you seeing?
Well, I can give you some information, but I have to tell you it's a little bit difficult because where do I normally get the information? I usually get it from federal departments of health, the CDC, state departments of health, and who funds that? The government, and the government's closed right now. So it's difficult to get information, but I have been able to get some that I think will be helpful. And then I'll give you some information about immunizations, if that's okay.
Yep, that's great.
All right. So for influenza, we know that the 2024-2025 season was considered high severity, and it was high severity across all age groups. We don't have a lot of national data right now, but for Missouri, I can tell you that as of October 2025, there was only 400 cases across the state. So our risk ranked as low at that point. And of those 400, about 1% were ED visits. And then for St. Louis, I couldn't get exact numbers, but when I looked at the trends, it looks about as though the number of cases that we're getting is about the same as it has been for several of the last previous seasons. Mm-hmm. And the ED visits as well look about the same for the last four seasons at this time of the year.
Okay.
So for COVID, I can give you information through the 25th of September. For the U.S., it looks like it's going pretty well right now. It is up a little bit. The tests are up by about 7%. And as you know, that's probably underrepresented. And the ED visits are also at about 1%. Missouri was really interesting, although I could get some things. I couldn't get anything about COVID on the Missouri Department of Health website. But I was able to access from another site wastewater associated with COVID. And so from that, we can say that right now the COVID risk is low in Missouri. But when you look at the wastewater for Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska and Arkansas, those are either moderate or high. So I think it is coming.
Okay.
So the next piece to talk about is immunizations. And the last time we spoke, it was really hard to give a lot of information because in June, everything got turned upside down with the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices with the CDC. As you know, under RFK, the 17 previous members had been replaced with new members, and the CDC had just dropped its previous recommendations, and everything had kind of changed. And then the FDA also followed suit. Where we are right now is that some of those recommendations have been changed to talk with your doctor about it, but they're not recommending it. So I really had to go to a number of different medical professional organizations that were reviewing all of the data to see what was being suggested. And that's like the Academy of Pediatrics, the Academy of Family Physicians, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Infectious Disease Society, you know, on and on. And it looks like it was pretty consistent that they are all suggesting that people get vaccinated. So infants and kids between 6 months to 23 months old get vaccinated. They suggest that adolescents 2 to 18 get vaccinated, but say, you know, check with your physician, and everybody older than 19, including if they're pregnant, should get vaccinated for COVID. And there was a recent study, a systematic review of 511 studies that basically showed that immunization against COVID, RSV, and influenza was safe and effective for all people, or for people of all ages, including during pregnancy, and that RSV immunizations were very effective, like 68%, in preventing infant hospitalizations. So if you're pregnant, or if you've just had a child who's under 12 months of age, talk with your OBGYN or talk with your pediatrician, but it's really helpful. RSV is actually the number one reason why kids get admitted to the hospital. So please check that out.
Doc, do you know whether the COVID vaccine is covered by the federal government these days?
So that is such a good question. So how does the federal government decide to cover it? It's based on the recommendations of the CDC and the FDA. And if the CDC is not recommending it, then the federal government may not cover it. So all of the private insurance groups, those groups have all come together in general. Everyone that I've looked at has said, we're going to cover you. We want you to get immunized. But what does that mean? What that means is that people who have private insurance and can afford private insurance get covered. People who are on Medicaid may not get covered. And so that part, or Medicare, that part is still up in the air as to who is going to be covered and who isn't, as far as getting the immunization paid for by the government.
Wow. So if RFK's CDC panel do not recommend it, then people covered federally through Medicaid and Medicare will just be kind of ass out.
That is highly likely.
Wow. Wow, that's sobering.
It is sobering.
Did you have one more topic, Doc?
I did. I wanted two things to touch base on. One was the measles. I know that I've heard you guys talk about it periodically. There's probably between 1,500 and 1,600 cases across the United States right now. And the main thing that I want people to understand is that although vaccinations for like the flu and COVID and RSV, they don't prevent you from getting the virus, what they do is they prevent you from getting hospitalized because of the virus.
Okay.
Whereas measles can actually keep you from getting sick from the virus to begin with.
Right.
So the measles vaccine is very, very, very effective. And if you don't have it, then you are very susceptible to getting that infection. And it is terrible to have. You're not going to like it if you get it, for sure.
Okay.
And the last thing I want to tell you is we really appreciated the thing that you did on Halloween, right before Halloween, you know, the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you guys make it out to that?
Yeah. No, we were there. So we saw that and the panel discussion afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that with The Exorcist, I tried to watch that twice, like many years ago. And of course, I got through maybe the first 30 minutes before I was like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah.
So this was actually the first time I watched it all the way through. But I thought for sure it was not going to be a problem because it's such an old movie, and it was so long ago since I had tried to watch it, and I was completely wrong. That thing is still as scary. I know why I left now. And if I wasn't sitting there with my daughter and her boyfriend, I probably would have left when I was trying to watch it that night. But the panel discussion that you guys had afterwards was really interesting. You know, the chaplain and you, and then the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun to listen to.
I agree. I thought it was really good. Thank you, Doc. That's Dr. Tiffany Osborne, our medical contributor. We'll be right back. DGS.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 252. Happy Tuesday. Wheels are just... reading us a quote from Caroline Leavitt, the White House spokesperson. I'm just off on one today, but that job, and I don't know when it happened, has become so not just useless, it's an impediment. Because Leavitt and Jean-Pierre before her, I believe, just lied. I think that job description is, you're a spokesperson. You're not the lawyer
right.
in a trial.
Right.
A lawyer in a trial is expected to bend things to the point, not let them break, but bend the facts and the logic to the point that your guy wins. Personally, I don't think that's the job of the White House spokesperson. I think it's to communicate accurately. Because you're talking to the American people, not just the press. But at some point, it just became like just a bunch of friggin' liars. They'll say absolutely anything. And what you just quoted isn't a lie. It's just unbelievably disappointing third grade bullcrap.
Well, it's also what it is, they've become shields. They are simply there to deflect any difficult questions away, not to answer them. Not to send you in a direction to get an answer. And again, you can name a press secretary. Who's the dude that did it for Bush who's also kind of weaselly like that? And then I don't remember the name, but there was a person that worked under Clinton, too, that had to do all the, you know, the Monica Lewinsky stuff. And it was a constant just like, I'm shielding this and I'm deflecting. And so Leavitt was asked today. Okay, so the question was, the president posted on Truth Social that the voting underway in California is rigged. What evidence does he have of that? And her response was, there's fraud in California elections. It's just a fact. And the reporter followed up and said, okay, what's the evidence of that, though? And then her reply to that was, it's just a fact. If you want to deny that, I'm happy to provide you all of the evidence. The reporter is literally asking you for the evidence. Just give it. If you're saying I'm happy to, just do that.
We are celebrating subintelligence these days. We are rewarding people being conniving. We are rewarding people lying, flat out lying.
Yeah.
And we are really downgrading intelligence and thoughtfulness and logic. That's ridiculous. You should be ashamed of yourself. To be the White House spokesperson, and that's the way you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
California is just rigged all the time, and it's a fact, and we all know it. That's your answer. That is not worthy of the American people.
That's literally the style of what parents did to kids when they don't want to explain themselves. A kid will say, why do I have to do this? Because I said so. Well, I mean, all right, so I guess we all accept being treated like children. And what's her name? during the Biden administration did the same stuff, just
absolutely.
About just about different topics.
Yeah, except she was dumber.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.